2 Timothy chapter 2. But shun profane and vain babblings, verse 16, for they will increase more unto ungodliness, and their word will eateth doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. We're looking at where the scriptures affirm that the resurrection is now. Always is now. And the place of the resurrection is in his temple, of which you are. So we're going to go now to, we started looking at this. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is about the resurrection of Lazarus. And then he's talking to Martha. And when she said in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this. Just think of the majesty of what that says. I am the resurrection. And it's in the present, perfect, whatever that tense is. It means it's always in the now. I am the resurrection. What?
I was looking at the preposition in.
I knew you would do it.
It could probably be done several ways. He that believeth by me, through me, as me.
Of me.
Because in me always is a separating me believing in him. Whereas it's actually his faith.
Unless it's the location of sphere, which it is here. You know what that means? You remember a location of sphere in the Greek?
That means, I don't know how it pertains to this.
Because you're in him.
Oh, yeah. You can believe in him.
You believe in him.
Okay? As you are in him.
That,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
It is really no different for us.
All right. Now let's go to Galatians 4. Verse 16, Paul is speaking. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. His resurrection is in you. And Paul was saying he was travailing in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So again, the resurrection is there, now, in. Now go to the famous one, just Galatians 2.
What does effect mean? As opposed to effect.
Well, effect, I don't know.
Would it have an impact?
No, let me look that up. I never looked that up, okay? I'll try to remember Monday. But try to
Your premise here is now, right? Starting all this. And that's interesting because this is almost like Christ be formed in you.
How does that take place?
Well, it's already completed, but the revelation is not.
Right. So it's the only thing that keeps the fullness from being realized is our rebellion.
Now never goes away or changes or whatever you
right.
say. So, okay. Where did you go?
Chapter 2.
Of what?
Galatians. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now you cannot say that if you believe the resurrection is past already. Amen?
Amen.
Now the biggie, 1 John chapter 4. Now, this Mr. Bible Study Answer Man, Gary, got an email from someone that listens, and she went on and on and on about if you take no thought for yourself and blah de da, then if I'm homeless, I take it. If I can't pay my bills, blah, 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 blah.
You're probably listening, so be nice.
Huh?
She's probably listening, so be nice.
That's fine. But the issue herein is never about you. And so she forgot that you live by the power of God. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. So if you place conditions and describe all these possibilities of why, blah, 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 then you've missed the whole point because you're still talking about yourself. And so you have a form of godliness, but deny his efficacy, his sure tested ability. And so, because you don't believe that he is in you, that you think, the question itself was the evidence that at the core she believed the resurrection was past already. Everybody understand that? You know, people have said to me ever since the day I opened my mouth about this mystery of God, well, if I did what you say, I would just sit in a corner and die. Well, then you have a form of godliness, but deny his ability, his power, his purpose. Amen?
I was just thinking as you're talking that what she exhibited was trying to comprehend this with your mind and make it make sense and make it work out somehow when there's no gear there to do it. That's
right.
Why abandonment is the only way that it'll ever happen.
All right. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And again, what?
Where are you at, John?
1 John, chapter 4, verse 1.
I'm in Big John.
Again, we gotta go through this every time because, I'm not believing any spirits. A spirit is some incorporeal thing that without a body that tells you something or you hear it. So your thoughts in this context are a spirit. Somebody's words or philosophy is a spirit. Everybody understand that? So beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every thought, everything somebody says, everything you say. Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many, and the word there many means almost all, false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is come, now. You're not saying the resurrection is past already. He is come. And that's the fundamental basis of the Christian faith. Anything else is another gospel. Everybody got it? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that of spirit of Antichrist, or instead of Christ, whereof you have heard that it should come and even already is in the world. If you could just once see that all those little thoughts in your mind and all these little ambitions and plans and all these little regrets and oh, if onlys and I wishes is the spirit of Antichrist talking to you, but then you believe it. Every emotion that comes up that says, oh, poor me, is the Antichrist, the instead of. What?
Well, this is always in the context of now. I mean, that's how it all ties to that. Because in the no time, he is come. Anything outside of there, is he will come.
I don't understand your question. The Antichrist confesses that he did come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can confess. He is come. Everybody can say it, just like everybody can say Jesus is Lord. But when you hear these kind of words in the Bible, it doesn't mean you can repeat it and just some kind of cliche. It means you cannot say he is come in the flesh and believe anything is wrong. You cannot say he is come in the flesh and believe that you need to be different than you are. You cannot say he is come in the flesh and regret anything. You cannot say he is come in the flesh and have not forgiven everyone their trespasses from the heart. You cannot have any if onlys. You cannot have any what ifs because he is come in the flesh. What's going on, Scott? You left.
I thought I turned the fan off and it's still turning.
All right. We're going to continue. Everybody understand this, Ronnie?
Probably.
All right. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Who's the they? They, everyone that confesseth that he isn't come in the flesh. Even the ones that say, praise God, Jesus is my Savior. Praise God, he's coming back again to get me. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. Therefore, you speak of politics. Therefore, you speak of issues. And blah, blah, blah. They're of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. That's all people can do. If you're of the world, you'll speak of the world. They're of the world. Therefore, they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is just so, that's one of the most arrogant things there is in the Bible. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You have the courage to say that? You know that you know that you know, so you can say that? Are you going to, no, well, what about blah, 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 blah? What?
It is pretty bold. And well, it is a good question. You hear me?
All right. We could go on and on forever on this. Let's go back to 2 Timothy.
This is
no.
John the Beloved, John the Revelator, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is he at this time? Do we know? Is he on Patmos? This is before Patmos, right?
Oh, yeah, this is way before Patmos.
So who is us? What church? Do we know what church he was in when he wrote this?
Doesn't matter.
I was just wondering.
Stop it.
All right. Who concerning the truth averred, saying the resurrection is past. The resurrection, by the way, is anastasis, or Anastasia in the Russian. But it's a great word.
I'm sorry.
We're back at 2 Timothy. Saying the resurrection. I was just saying what word is the resurrection. It means rising from the dead.
You know, it's interesting. Jesus was in the tomb and he didn't raise himself. He was just dead there.
That's the whole point. He had to do that. If ever he leaned on his own power, or used his own power, or leaned on his own arm of understanding, then he would have stayed in the grave. Or he would have come out as king of the world. But he wouldn't have been in the will of God. He had to wait on God.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's good.
Saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow. Now remember we studied catastrophe the other day. It was catastrophe. This word is anatrepo. It's very similar to catastrophe, but it's more personal. But it's like a... let's go to John 2:15. See where it's used. Or how it's used. John 2... Verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and the poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Now, where he says he overthrew the tables, it's the same word, anatrepo. Means also, in let's go to Titus one more time. Titus chapter something or other.
Where is that at? 1240.
It's like one page away from 2 Timothy where you were. Remember, it goes first, and the T's, it goes 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. That's after General Electric Power Company. You got it? Verse 8. Be a lover of hospitality. Chapter 1, verse 8. Let's wait a minute. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now the word subvert is the word, same word, overthrew. So overthrow, that we had here in 2 Timothy. Go back one page, I think. 2 Timothy. Who concerning the truth of error, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So, that's kind of an important passage, just for since Mr. Buckner likes summary. The predicate for all this is chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. Bottom line, if you're not dead, if you're still trying to keep yourself alive, then forget everything else. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And again, remember, suffer there doesn't necessarily mean what we think of suffering. It means waiting on him, hyper-abiding. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study, eagerly present yourself. Eagerly present thyself, approved of God, by the act of presenting yourself without condition. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker or gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Amen? Anybody have any response or questions or additions to the tale or zits to pop or... Why did I say that? It's because Mr. Jeff was over there popping a zit. That's why I said it.
Too much.
Shut up, Ronnie. Everybody understand perfectly.
I have a quick question. In 14...
You can't ask questions. You have to have slow questions.
What question? Slow
questions? You can't have quick questions. You have to have slow questions.
I was wondering in verse 14, what... I understand the part about not striving about words to no profit, but after that it says, but it looks like it's saying strive to the subverting of the hearers. What does subverting mean? What
is it? Overthrowing. Same word, anastrepo. That means when you strive about words, you overthrow the faith.
Correct. I understand that part. What I don't understand is what he's saying about the subverting of the hearers.
You subvert, overthrow the faith of the people that are hearing because you're striving about words rather than the basis of what we just said. Amen?
I think it's a structure of the sentence.
Never mind. Take it, big guy. I started to say we should, and then I said, I might leave it on for the 24 hours.
Okay.
I might.